part of the Carson Anderson program. Gator and Stoney with you today. Stoney in for Doug. This wonderful All-Star Tuesday. Stoney, you are an All-Star.
Oh, thank you.
Get your game up.
Thank you very much.
Always an All-Star. Great to have you again today. We take your calls and texts, as always, at 248-539-9797. I think we want to start with what was going on last night. Right? Let's just get right into it. Because I think in a lot of ways, it's become too easy for people to bag on the All-Star game, bag on the festivities they have prior to it, the home run derby. You know, at one point, the derby was great, and then it became less great. People got tired of Chris Berman and the back, all that stuff. And then the derby just took forever to complete. And I felt like I had a little bit of a revival when it came here, at least locally, because here in Detroit, we had an awesome home run derby. And then it started to dwindle again. But last night, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden last night was rekindled. And I thoroughly enjoyed the home run derby last night, and compared to years past where it's just been,
It seemed like it moved at a much better pace. I can't remember how the rules changed or whatever, but you didn't have tons of extra bonus pitches. You had a few, obviously, but you didn't have, it wasn't as convoluted as it used to be. I thought it was, and I wasn't planning on really watching. It was going to be background, but my daughter really wanted to watch it. So we were, I paid closer attention than I thought I would, put it that way.
I thought they did it. It's smart, the format that they have with, okay, you have whatever it is, 40 pitches in 3 minutes, and you get allowed one timeout during that stretch. That speeds things up along significantly.
Correct.
And then you get to a bonus round where you get bonus pitches. I'm not sure what the reasoning was for how you get there. I forget what that was.
It's distance, isn't it?
Well, once you got into the bonus round, if you hit one that was 425 feet, you got an extra out. So the bonus round gave you three outs. And if you got one 425 in a bonus round, then you got a fourth out. But it was interesting. The ball, and I think everything starts with the ballpark. And mm-hmm. I said during the crosstalk, that field looked great. And that setting looked great. You got like the modern downtown that's in the backdrop and the hotel that's there and everything else. And it was lit up beautifully. And, you're seeing a stadium that maybe you haven't seen before. And you're seeing from different angles with the cameras and all that. And there's some really cool things about that stadium. I don't know how many levels it is, but one shot it looked like there were five levels of stands.
And,
like,
and it wasn't even that high either.
No, right.
The only thing that I don't like watching it is they still haven't figured out a way to master, not doing it under a split screen. You know what I mean? Where you see the guy swing the ball, you hear the crowd, and then on the other screen, basically, you see where it lands. So they haven't figured that out yet. And I don't know if they ever will or even need to, but I think they do to a certain extent.
Yeah, I think part of that issue is that when they do the split screen, you're going, the screen gets squeezed.
Yeah.
Because it's not two like smaller screens of what would normally be with aspect mm-hmm. ratio and right. all that. It ends up being different. And then it cuts out the sides of it, if you will, and you don't get the same perspective, and it's just tougher to follow. I agree. That could be – I thought that was a little distracting at times, and you'd see the guy hit, and, like, where's the ball going? But this is what happens when you have rapid pitching going. Like, in a baseball game, you sit at home, you watch it, somebody hits, you got the camera from behind the pitcher, ball gets hit, and you got three other cameras ready to train on it to see where it goes, and then you're watching that, and that's cool. In the meantime, in no derby, while that's going on – the pitcher's throwing the next pitch.
Correct.
So that's I guess the issue with that. But last night it was just you had some really great competitors. You had a lot of young competitors, mm-hmm. which is what people want to see because they want to see what the future of baseball is. But you also want these guys to perform,
right?
And I mean, O'Neill Cruz hit a ball 513 feet last night.
I know,
and it was insane. Like, that was just one of the top five longest home runs ever in the Derby. The longest, I think, is a 520-foot shot. It was amazing to see the ball fly out like that, but that's what I'm expecting to see when you see somebody who's 6'7", 240 pounds, get him up there. It's like you get the big guys up there. The big guys can hit the ball further.
Right.
When I say big, it's not just muscular. It's tall because it just get in the wheelhouse and you generate all that bat speed and there it goes. It's why it would be fun to see Aaron Judge do this. Because he can do the same thing.
That's the one thing. And I know the slam dunk contest has been ridiculed and rightfully so because the stars don't participate. And I know why some of them don't do it in the home run derby because they've been there, done that. But you still wanted to see if you're viewing at home or even at the ballpark, you'd love to see Ohtani. You'd love to see Judge. I mean, yeah, you want to see some of the younger players.
I didn't miss him last night, though. I mean, sure, there are times I'm like, oh, I wonder how this guy would do in this event, but I have seen it before with them. And to see the new blood come in, it was really cool. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. But there were some things that happened there that were quite controversial that we want to get to and take the temperature of the people out there and see what you have to say about it. Want to know if you enjoyed the Derby as much as we did. Where it can improve. It wasn't all great. There were some things about it that I found annoying, and I'm sure everybody else will, but it's something to work on. But you got the All-Star Game coming up tonight as well. We got 6 Tigers in the All-Star Game. Should be a lot of excitement. We'll discuss that as well. Coming up next here on 97.1, The Ticket. Make Builders FirstSource your destination for professional window and exterior door installation services. You can add value and beauty to your home with trusted brands like Anderson, Pella, Therma-Tru, and more. Then have your new windows and doors installed properly the first time with their expert Builders First Source installation team. Done right with quality products and services. So visit one of your locations in Clinton Township or Shelby Township, or you can go online at buildersfirstsource.com. That's buildersfirstsource.com. So, Stoney, before we get into the controversial stuff from last night with the Derby, I do want to, as much as I praise it and I thought it was great, there were a couple things that bothered me. One of the things that bothered me was that the announcers seemingly thought everything was a home run.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not even close. That's going to be way short. And like, you guys have been around baseball your entire lives. You should know what a home run is off the bat by now. Plus you have a great vantage point to watch this game. The other thing was that the way that they were effusive in the praise of Matt Olson, who was the hometown guy for Atlanta. Now I get that the crowd there wants Matt Olson to do well, mm-hmm. and they should, but there's no reason that the guys who are announcing the Derby need to be cheerleaders for Matt Olson and say, oh my God, this is amazing what he's doing. And trying to convince me, the viewer, that it's amazing to see him hit 15 home runs and get eliminated because he didn't hit enough. He finished, I think the 8 contestants, I think he was 7th.
In front of Jazz Chisholm.
Yeah, did better than Jazz Chisholm, only hit 3 home runs. But he was less than James Wood, who hit 16, and less than Brent Rooker, who hit 17, which gets us to part of the controversy. But that was one of the things I didn't. It kind of bothered me. I'm like, why are you constantly talking about Matt Olson and how we got on a roll? He's hit 4 in a row. So what? Who hasn't hit 4 in a row in this thing?
That didn't bother me. Well, you know, the little things always bother me. So I can appreciate the little things that bother you. That was one that didn't bother me.
But the controversy, let's get to the first controversy, the one that I started to mention here. Brent Rooker hit 17 home runs, as did Cal Raleigh in the first round. But they decided to do the measurement by, the furthest home run was going to advance.
Right.
And Cal Raleigh's home run, they determined, was a couple inches further than Brent Rooker's home run, mm-hmm. his longest home run, which I don't know how you get it down to that exact of a science when it's not. It's an inexact science. In fact, I think it's a lot of this is, I don't buy a lot of the distances that are being reported on this, but to have it down that far when they both had the same distance on a home run, and then they say, oh, we can get it down to, you know, the quarter of an inch or whatever. A bit much for me.
And Rooker was pissed because they didn't have it posted. So he didn't know that he had to do a certain thing. And then the other thing was he believed that he got gypped basically out of two pitches because they told him, you know, your last two balls don't make a difference. And he just took two balls. And then when he needed it, there was no balls of in his 40 ball bag or whatever.
Wow. Well, a lot of balls you're talking about. You're juggling a lot there.
Yeah.
There. Thank you. So Brent Rooker plays for the Athletics. Yes. And
kills the Tigers
too. Yeah. And so does Cal Raleigh for the Seattle Mariners. In the end, you know, did he get screwed out of this? He may have gotten screwed out of this, as you mentioned, if the last couple pitches just kind of takes it for what they are, just blows it off. Mm-hmm. And because I think they also thought that they were under the impression that there was going to be some sort of a little battle between the two to see who could hit, you know, the furthest home run in the next pitch or whatever, that there was some sort of playoff with them. There was not. Cal Raleigh advanced. And spoiler alert, Cal Raleigh ended up winning it in spectacular fashion. He deserves it. And the Tiger fans, we saw enough of Cal Raleigh over the weekend to understand, yeah, I get it. That guy won.
Yeah,
he's got it. But the other controversy came, and it was Junior Caminero. Was it in the semifinal or in the final? He hit a ball to deep left field,
mm-hmm.
going to the wall, and looks like it's going to clear the wall. And there's one of the kids out there who's fielding, you know, shagging fly balls, if you're willing, line drives, reaches up and makes the catch.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't.
Which goes to my point that the kids shouldn't be out there shagging balls.
He didn't go all Spider-Man and climb the wall and lean over.
No, he made
and
a nice play, though.
All he did, because I don't even think he jumped. He just stood at the wall, reached his glove up, which happened to be higher than what the wall was.
He was a big kid.
And made the catch. It was a nice catch.
Yeah, it was a real nice catch.
In baseball, you can stop a ball from being a home run if you make the catch. If you reach over the fence or do exactly what he did, you can stop it from being a home run. Last night, the kid made the catch, and there was controversy because they weren't sure whether or not the kid, whether or not Caminero was going to get credit for the home run. He was given credit for the home run, and everybody's pointing fingers out at this poor kid there in left field.
I know Vlad Guerrero Jr. was like pissed until they figured out that he was still going to get credit for the home
run. And then I'm laughing about this and thinking, wait a minute, this is awesome. This is one of the things I love about this. Get some controversy in there. And if it's because a kid was able to grab a ball that could have been a home run and brought it back, I'm not opposed to it. Because that's what every kid dreams of doing. I'm not the biggest fan of having the kids in the outfield. Obviously, you do not like it, which I'll let you explain in a minute. But if you're a kid and you're allowed to be in the outfield for this event, you are living for that moment where you can make that home run saving catch. That's what you live your life for. This is what baseball's about.
I get it. Look, I just don't like I don't like them in the outfield. To me, it looks cheap. These little kids running around trying to get a ball that, you know, doesn't make a home run. Somebody could get hurt. I don't know. I just don't like it. That's just me. I mean, I know if you're a kid, you love it. You get a chance to do that. I mean, yeah, I understand that.
I think there should be an age limit or a skill test that you have to pass in order to be able to get out there. Correct. They can't just have kids willy-nilly out there.
Right.
Because these balls are hitting 115 miles an hour. That part I agree with. But having the kids out there, I don't have a problem if they're able to handle the situation. But do you think you should be allowed to try to stop a ball from being a home run?
No. It's a home run derby. I mean,
but if you got the kids out there, I mean, if the kids are, I suppose the kids are really only there to shag the fly balls that are not home runs. But
yeah.
248-539-9797 is the telephone number. But we always want to spice things up.
Yeah, it's true.
Would it not spice things up if you were allowed to have, let's say you limit the number. Like, hey, we can have 10 kids in the outfield that are patrolling the wall, that are there to try to bring a ball back.
I got a better idea. You want to spice it up?
I do.
Have like pick 10 outfielders, like have like Riley Green or somebody out there.
MLB outfielders.
Yeah, try to make, you know, great catches. That would spice it up.
instead of having the kids do it.
Yeah.
It would spice it up.
Yeah. You'd have guys who would be in the all-star skills competition. That would be a skill. Because we're talking about off the air, we say they need to have skills competition in addition to the home run derby. Well, here you go. Have a fielding skill during the home run derby. That way you can have guys like, you know, Parker Meadows and, you know, people like that.
248-539-9797 is a telephone number. Same number to text. Want to hear your voices on the home run derby last night. If you watched it, if you didn't watch it, why did you choose not to watch it? Do you feel like you're left out? Did you enjoy it from last night? We've talked a little bit about the controversies involved there with the the distance measuring or whatever, and then you had the idea that I think it's and Stoney initially didn't like it, and now you've upped it. Now I like your idea. Because you had a kid kind of rob a home run last night. They counted it for Junior Caminero. Yeah, yes. They counted it anyway. But should they have? Isn't that part of the it's part of baseball is to try to rob people from home runs. I get it. It's a home run derby. But if you're allowing people to be out there on the field to play anyway, regardless if it's just out there to shag the fly balls, why not spice it up? And as Stoney said, let the major leaguers out there patrol the wall.
Yeah.
And have them try to bring some home runs back. That is spicy. And Kang, I think you had the idea about Raleigh's, would have been really interesting if Cal Raleigh's brother had been out there.
Oh, that was a great family affair moment for them last night. I mean, I couldn't imagine the rest of the family watching all three of those guys compete. But yeah, I mean, for sure. Maybe that's the next thing, guys. It's got to be. Like, it's like the Family Feud. Your pitcher, your catcher, and the hitter all got to be related.
Well, and what
it's kind of like what they did in the WNBA skill or the All-Star competition, right? Where you had a veteran, a current player, an old timer, and a WNBA player.
I mean, all like, from the same franchise,
yeah,
or something like that?
Same city, yeah.
I kind of like the idea of adding another family member and put them out in the field. So then it gets even more spicy. If let's say Cal Raleigh's brother had right. been out there and he'd been the one to rob Junior Caminero.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Then it really.
Yeah. See, what about Justin Verlander pitching to Ben Verlander, Kate Upton catching?
Yep.
What? Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Livian and Skeens aren't married yet, so we can't have that combo yet.
Yeah, we can. Why are you saying no?
I don't know.
You just says no to that?
Well, you just said family member. I said, let's wait till they get married and then put him in there.
Oh, well. Anyway, 248-539-9797.
By the way, Gator, coming up next, I have a nugget involving the Big Dumper that is just so...
I can't believe you just said a nugget and Big Welcome back to the Carson Anderson Show here on 97.1 The Ticket. Gator and Stoney with you, along with Kang, taking your calls and texts at 248-539-9797. Scott is first up here, 97 on the ticket. Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey.
I got a few things on the home run derby. Yeah, I watched it. You know, I agree with you, Gator. The commentators are annoying, but it's ESPN. I don't expect any different. One thing with Cal Raleigh, I thought it was kind of cool that his dad was pitching to him as, you know, someone who coaches my son. I thought that was kind of cool, but I have one question. Why did the Tigers bullpen just pitch to Cal Raleigh?
Right? I was actually watching the game, watching it last night, and I'm thinking that would be and thanks for the call, Scott. That would be absolute savage if Cal Raleigh was interviewed at some point and they were talking about, hey, how'd the decision-making process go for you asking your dad to do it? And if he had said something like, well, I was going to ask Tommy Canely, but... apparently he wasn't going to make it out for this trip. Or I asked Tarek Skubal if he wanted to throw a few pitches. But,
yeah.
You know, that would have been funny, but savage and could be a real problem. But it would have been, yeah, I mean, he's got license to do that.
Well, here's the Cal Raleigh little nugget that just is something that is ingrained in me, Gator. Cal Raleigh was the third round selection of the Seattle Mariners in the 2018 June draft. So, of course, I had to figure out who the Detroit Tigers could have, you know, could they have selected Cal Raleigh?
Uh-huh.
You know, well, the Tigers had the first pick of that round. They had the first pick of the first round was Casey Mize. First pick of the second round was Parker Meadows. So instead of Cal Raleigh, you know, they got a major leaguer who's actually having his best year. I can't believe he has 12 home runs. Who would you rather have, Gator? Cal Raleigh or Cody Clemens?
Yeah, I have no idea watching. I didn't watch Cal Raleigh play when he was younger. I did watch Cody Clemens play in the College World Series that year. Yeah. It felt like he had a home run every game for like six straight games.
I know.
I was more than excited when they drafted Cody Clemens.
I know. It's just part of my DNA.
It is part of your DNA. You got to change that though, because
I'm looking at the third baseball round. Draft. You know who else was taken in the third round after Cal Raleigh? Jeremy Peña, the Astros, took him in the 24th pick in the third round. Wow. All right. Enough of that. But, yeah, we could add Cal Raleigh.
Yeah, well, they drafted Tarik Skubal in, what, the ninth round?
Yeah, I know.
All those teams passed on him. So, exactly. Doug's in Ypsilanti. Doug, welcome to 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Doug.
Hey, good afternoon or morning. Hey, Stoney, first of all, I agree with you. I can't stand seeing the kids out there. But to help the situation, if they want to keep them out there, they can do that. Just keep them off the warning track.
It's an easy solution for sure.
Yeah, but it's even more than that. It's then you put them more in a compact area, so there's more collisions and things like that.
You can have less. You can limit the number of kids. But I do like the idea of letting them try to rob home runs, because that's every kid's dream. I mean, didn't you play that game as a kid when you were, you know, you go to some field somewhere and somebody would try to hit a ball, or he'd throw a ball, loft it up in the air, and everybody wants to try to bring it back. Kids do that. That's fun.
Of course it's fun. I get it. I understand it. It doesn't mean I have to like it.
No, you don't have to like it.
You know, there is something that didn't bother me yesterday that I'm sure bothered a lot of other people during that game. The home run derby. The introductions. I didn't mind Pat McAfee. I like Pat McAfee.
I didn't see the introductions.
What bothered me is he didn't do them by himself. He had one of his colleagues, one of the guys on his show, Ty Schmidt, do some stuff too, and I thought that was a little too much. But I don't mind Pat McAfee. A lot of people couldn't stand it. But
I'll tell you who they should get to do the announcing. Not the announcing, but the introductions. They should get the guy who introduces the contestants at the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest.
Oh, he's awesome.
He is, without a doubt, the best at what he does.
Yes.
There are no peers. There's that guy, and then there's everybody else.
Pretty much.
Bring that guy in to make the introductions, and I'm here all day for it.
Or, like, next year, never mind. I got my cities mixed up. But the next time they have it in Detroit, should have Mason do it.
I mean, sure. I mean, better than Pat McAfee, I guess, and Detroit flavor. I love Mason. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Wouldn't mind seeing that. But the guy who does Nathan's Coney Island,
he's unbelievable.
He is unparalleled. Ned, you're next up here, 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Ned.
Hey, morning, guys. Few things. Me and my son watched it. It was fun. I miss Chris Berman, right? Back. I miss those
do
days.
Do you really?
You're the one.
Yeah. Because when he first started doing it was fine, but then he became a caricature of himself.
Yeah, I don't know. I miss it. I thought that made it a little bit more fun. And the ESPN guys last night were like, it was all right. I don't like you're saying, I don't mind McAfee, but it's not like, I don't know, maybe there's some nostalgia behind it. But I also liked on ESPN watching it, how they had the StatCast ball tracker. I thought that was cool. I think Rooker really got robbed. I don't know how they can track it to like the million.
I don't either. I don't buy it.
With that.
So did you watch the StatCast, the alternate broadcast of it?
We were following on my laptop. Yeah, we had that open. Then we were watching on ESPN. The interactiveness of it was really cool. The other thing I think would have been a better alternative to just the distance, I think they should have done like a five pitch swing off. Like, okay, now you get five pitches. Whoever hits the furthest home run, that's who's advancing. I didn't like that they were just like, it was kind of up in the air. Nobody kind of knew what was going on. And then all of a sudden it was like he won by, you know, whatever, 1.5 inches or whatever it was. That's Rooker's, now Rooker's out. But overall, it was a good experience for me and my son.
Good. That's, I think that's what the Home Run Derby is, basically watching it with your kids or other family members.
Well, I think that's nostalgia. I think that's the nostalgia of baseball, really. I mean, baseball feels like that's that one sport that is that does it better than others when in terms, or maybe that's not even baseball. Does it just feel like that's just tradition, that it's always been a, you know, a familial thing, you know, that your dad takes you to the game, or if you're raised by mom, a mom takes you to the game. It's awesome, and you know, that's how you get into it. I feel like baseball is more so than any other sport, but. We had that situation we talked briefly about, just touched on it, but let's expand on it. The Cal Raleigh thing. I mean, Cal Raleigh is at the plate. His father is pitching to him, which is awesome, right? And that's usually where the story ends, you know, because we've seen this before with fathers that pitch to sons in the Home Run Derby. But then Cal's got his brother is catching, and his brother, apparently his brother's only 15. He looks like he's, you know, in college, but watch that kid and see if how he matriculates and if he's going to play baseball or not.
Well, his father was a baseball coach.
Yeah, but this is
like Tennessee, I think.
So this is kind of, well, it's awesome. It's like, this is, you talk about a family affair. You have the father and his two sons are out there on the biggest stage that baseball has outside of the World Series is their All-Star game. And, you know, this is the Derby. It's really, really freaking cool. And just, you know, everybody, I'm sure, has their own little memories of about with sports and with your father, or with your brother, with your family, whatever it is. But what's that cool moment in time that you can kind of put you all together because of sports? You know, for the Raleigh family, I don't know if it gets any better than that. You know, unless Cal's brother is going to make it in the major leagues as well, and they end up playing in the World Series, and dad's there, you know, guys wear this split jersey or whatever, you know. But it's just that was a really cool moment. But for you, what was that cool moment, that family affair moment that you've had tied to sports? 248-539-9797 is a telephone number, or same number to text as well if you want to send a text that way. You know, for me, just thinking back, it was something recently that it was the game that the Tigers played where JD Martinez was on the IL, and then he came back from the IL and pinch hit and hit the home run.
Off Chris Sale's first pitch.
I was at the game, and I got tickets in the Tiger's Den seats, and I bought tickets so my dad could go, my brother could go, and my nephew could go. So we had three generations of Andersons at the game. So it was really cool to have, you know, Ben, Dave, Scott, and Hugh all at the game. And we were there for that moment. Was like, I couldn't believe it. You know, the game's just going on as the game's going on, and we're playing on our phones and watching the game and talking, whatever. But then that moment happens, and as it's happening, like, the crowd's going nuts because JD Martinez comes out of the batter's box. And I'm explaining to my nephew why this is cool. Like, this is, you know, he's been hurt forever and is a power hitter, and this is a big moment, and we'll see what happens. And then he hits the home run. It's like jaw-dropping. It was just an amazing moment. So for me, that's the one recent one that I can think of that was super cool to involve all members of the family. Because, I mean, aside from that, we didn't – you know, my brother and I swam on swim teams together, but I was terrible. He was great. You know, it wasn't anything else.
Right.
You know, so totally different from other sports. But that was an event that got us together, that we all were there specifically for one reason. It was really cool.
I mean, I remember playing like doubles with, you know, my parents and my sister when we were growing up. You know, more recently, I mean, I remember on my birthday one year, I played, you know, golf with my father. Other than that, I mean, going to games when I was younger, you know, with my family, but nothing like anything close to what the Raleigh did. I mean, it's all like, you know, I love going to games with my wife and my kids. And I remember one game when the Eagles played here. It was me, my kids, my wife, and my sister, my nephew. So two generations, but we never really did. I didn't get to do the three generations at a game. That's pretty cool.
248-539-9797 is a telephone number. You want to share your family affair story that you can relate to with what was going on with Cal Raleigh yesterday. His dad pitching to him at the Derby. His brother was catching. having you know, all three of them out there was just incredible to see. It was really cool. Just wondering if anybody has a memory, something like that, if it's related to sports. Love to hear about it from you. This is 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, how's your garage door sound? Is it making some strange noises? Is it just not working as well as you want it to? Is it really, really slow? Do something about it and get it fixed. Call Precision Garage Door Service today at 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR, and they're going to come out and they're going to fix the problem. They're going to diagnose it, and they'll fix it on the spot. They've got expert technicians that have all the equipment under the trucks that they need to get the job done right, and they'll do it for you. I know this firsthand. Years ago, I had them come out. I had a garage door that was running very slow. They came out, fixed the problem, and then told me, you know what? This is a fix right now. You're going to have to start thinking about new garage doors down the line, but that's an expense you can worry about years later. And you guessed it. Years later, when I had to, that's who I called. Give them a call today. They're going to help you out. 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR, or you can visit them and schedule an appointment online at precisiondoormi.com. Welcome back to 97.1 The Ticket. Gator and Stoney with you today, taking the calls in text at 248-539-9797, talking about the Derby last night. What a special moment for Cal Raleigh, not just because he won the Derby, but because of who was with him. His dad was pitching to him, which was would be cool enough, right? But his brother was catching. It was a total family affair. So we're asking people out there if you've got that family affair moment where sports kind of brought you all together in one way. And Kang, I think you have one too, don't you?
When I was younger, I've told you and Doug this, and some of the listeners know that I was in competitive karate as a youngster. And the only reason I was in it was because my younger brother actually wanted to be in karate. So since he joined, my family and my dad made me join as well. But with that being said, we took to it, and I took to it. And we both were in tournaments almost every weekend, things like that. And we were on a competition team. And as a family, we'd go to these tournaments. Nothing was cooler than both of us winning like a first place, whether it was in forms or fighting. My dad was basically like our trainer, so he'd be watching us in every time we were up to compete or whatever. And my mom and sister would come along, of course, because it was a family affair. And then, looking back at it, you don't realize it at the time, but those are really cool moments, and there was a core memory. So that was cool for me.
Totally. Let's go back.
Wow, I never did. Kang, I never knew that.
Kang,
what?
You didn't see Kang's trophy you used to keep in the cubicle?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that vaguely.
It's like an 8-foot-tall trophy with a karate figure at the top
but
of it.
But I just realized that I'll never mess around. I'll never mess with you.
No, you never should.
That's right.
He was the All Valley tournament champion.
Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
Quick like a mongoose, man.
Very much so. Aubrey, you're next up here, 97 on the ticket. Hey, Aubrey.
Hey, guys. Stoney, Gator, good to hear your voices, by the way. For what it's worth, I enjoy watching you on YouTube as well.
Well, thank you.
Touche. My dad, who sadly passed away 10 years ago, helped us to have some incredible experiences. I was an honorary ball boy with the Pistons years ago, but one of the great experiences that my brothers and I had is we had a second cousin, a guy named Dave Ricketts, who played backup catcher for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yes, I remember. He wore he had glasses.
Yes, I mean, and came from an outstanding, family. But we had a chance, guys, to go to the World Series. We got a baseball signed by all of the Detroit Tigers. And then the really neat thing is we got a cover of the Sports Illustrated on which Red Shindings and Orlando Cepeda and Julian Javier, and I think Tim McCarver were on the cover. They each signed the cover, and the headline was it was the first $100,000 baseball team or something like that. But great experience. Had a chance to go to the World Series at home. Unfortunately, it was the Denny McClain game, which I think they got boat raced 13-4. But, of course, as we all know, they end up winning this series nonetheless. But that was a great, great experience that it's worth its weight in gold.
That's totally cool. Thanks for the call, Aubrey. We appreciate it. Chris, you're next up here, 97 on the ticket. Hey, Chris.
Hey. Baseball has always been just such a big part for my dad and my brother. And unfortunately, my dad's gone now, and I know how much he would love watching this Tiger team, but seeing last night game, home run derby, reminded me of playing softball with my dad and my brother, and I was lucky enough in one game where we were playing shortstop, second, and first, and we were able to actually turn a double play from myself to my brother to my father, and that was just something that, you know, you can't write that stuff. It just
That's awesome.
Was pretty amazing.
So, Chris, what's your last name?
Monroe.
So it was a Monroe to Monroe to Monroe. I love to do the play-by-play of that. Ground ball to Monroe. Yeah. He flips to Monroe, throws the first. Monroe's got him.
it was pretty surreal in the moment. So
how many ground balls did your dad hit you and your brother when you were kids so that you could do a play
like that?
Yeah, and it pays off. That's awesome. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Take care. Ed, you're next up here, 97 The Ticket. Hey, Ed.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Wonderful.
Doing well.
Outstanding. I have a couple of stories as far as sharing sports with my children. I'm going to do first my daughter. In 89, was about 2 years old, and she had to be with Daddy on his lap watching all sorts of sports games, especially Michigan football, Michigan hockey, and Michigan basketball. And during the run in 89, she and I were watching a NCAA tournament Michigan was playing, and I forgot she was on my lap. I stood up to cheer, and I threw her across the family room.
Oh, no. Wow.
She learned from that point to sit next to Daddy, not sit there. But the proud thing is she's my softball or my sports girl that we love to go to all sorts of sporting events. She went to Grand Valley. I would go out there at least two or three times every year to go football games with her. And the other part is I'm also a sports official. I've been officiating for 44 years, longer than I've been married. And I got a chance to do a recreational championship baseball game with my son to umpire with. And I thought that was very good. And I also got a chance to do him in or officiate wrestling when he was there. He had hurt his knee his senior year, and he was out, and the coach made him an assistant coach. I'm down at Bedford High School doing a JV match. He's standing next to the coach. His tie's down the same way as his coach. His sleeves are rolled up, and they're yelling the same instructions to the kid. I'm on the mat with my hand over my mouth just laughing, just loving it that my son can do that kind of stuff.
Awesome. Thanks. I
love the reffing thing because there was a young man who played high school football at West Bloomfield. He later went to Wisconsin. Taj Mustafa is his name. His father is a referee, and they just and Taj is like 25, 26, like my kid's age. And I met his father at the press box of one of our Lion games. He was there, and he and his son, he was telling me, have ref high school football games together now.
That's good. Are you looking for a hug?
No, why?
Because you can get your heart.
I don't know. I'm trying not to point.
I'm glad you're not pointing. There's no reason to point.
I make gestures. That's all.
So he's got his arms like trying to embrace this mythical creature or something. It's fun. Look, you can follow us along line. You want to see the show? Please do. You can stream the show with video on twitch.tv or on youtube.com as well. Just search 97 The Ticket and you got it. Or download the Odyssey app. It's Odyssey, AUDACY. And you can stream anywhere in the country. You can be out there in Waxahachie, Texas. It can be in Oil Trough, Texas. Mm-hmm. You can find your way in Ontario, Canada. Ontario, California.
Yeah.
No matter where, you can always stream the show live.
Well, when I'm in Florida, I listen to the station, and it's weird because I'd be walking, listening to you guys or John and Jim or Mike and Rico, and then you go to commercial, and the commercial is a commercial from, like, Florida. It doesn't have the local, they figure out a way to do that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I got some ticket texts earlier that came in regarding the home run derby and robbing home runs and stuff like that. Bad idea on robbing homers. Too high of a risk for injury. That's Chris in Dearborn Heights. I think regarding you saying, well, why not let the major leaguers out there patrol the wall and let Riley Green try to bring one back? too high of a risk for injury? Not if they're already at the wall. Right, I mean, they're not tracking it and going to run into it.
Yeah, because there could be like 10 of them in the outfield.
Yeah, they're just hanging out the warning track waiting to pounce.
Unless you're worried for the ball to hit a guy's head like Canseco years ago.
Wow. He was a special player.
Yes, he was.
As a kid, I participated in pitch, hit, and throw. Why don't they bring that back for the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, Steve Kay in West Bloomfield?
Steve, they would never do it for pitching because they'd be afraid of a guy, you know,
overthrowing.
Yes, and, you know, tearing something in his arm.
Yeah. I mean, there'd be a lot of cool stuff they could do with pitching that, unfortunately, I mean, once it becomes a competition, someone's going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see, like, the biggest break in a curveball. You know, biggest vertical break or horizontal break, whatever, and the hardest pitch, all that stuff would be great. But the outfielders out there, and every home run that they steal, they get $5,000 off the prize of the home run winner for the fielder's charity. Oh, that would be interesting. Mm-hmm. Hey, good morning, guys. This is Susie from Manchester. I did watch the home run derby last night, and I feel like they gave it to Cal Raleigh on a silver platter. How can you measure that distance home run within an inch? I think that's horse puck, is what she says. They should have swung off for that. He's talented, no doubt, but I think with his family pitching and catching, they wanted him to win.
Well, if you believe in conspiracy theories, I would understand that, but I don't believe that.
I think it's ridiculous to think they can get it down to a half an inch or whatever it is they're getting it down to. I agree. They should have just had a swing off of some kind to determine who won that round. But I think in the end, it looked like they want Cal Raleigh was probably going to be the best story they could have there. And it worked out. It was great. Did Brent Rooker get screwed out of it? I don't know if he got screwed out of it. I mean, it's technology that spits out, you know, done totally. It's a mathematical process. You know, exit velocity combined with the velocity of a pitch combined with the angle of the hit, and I don't know if they measure wind or whatever else, but that's all it spits out what you have. It is what it is. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm sorry that Brent Rooker didn't get to advance. This is not banana ball, Gator. The ball was going over the wall. The home run should count.
It did count.
It did count, and in baseball, you're allowed to go and catch a baseball that goes above the wall. This is a home run derby. This isn't a game, and I can understand that. I'm just trying to find a way to even spice it up, make it more interesting. That would be fun. And there's nothing wrong with banana ball, with the Savannah Bananas.
No, that's...
I know that the diehard baseball fans hate it.
Well, yeah, do diehard basketball fans, do they hate the Harlem Globetrotters?
I think they probably do.
I don't think they hate them.
They might be
sick of them, but
these baseball fans really do not like some baseball fans. I'm going to say a lot because the Savannah Bananas are wildly popular.
Yes, they sell out in big stadiums. Yes, yeah. It's crazy.
It's
different. It's unique.
Yeah.
The Globetrotters, it's like they've been around, you know, since like Moby Dick was a guppy. You know, they've been around that.
You did that one, huh?
I didn't mean it. I mean,
you said that line. You went to use the Moby. Is that Rob Parker's line?
Yes.
A little homage to Rob.
Yeah.
248-539-9797 is a telephone number. Continue to take more of your family affairs and sports calls, but also we're going to get into a possibility for the Detroit Lions. Yes, maybe, just maybe. And is this something that you would approve of or you want to stay away from? We'll talk about it next year. 97.1, The Ticket.